One of the most common questions that I get asked on this channel is, where is purgatory in the Bible? And in today's video, I want to show you not just one place where purgatory is in the Bible, but seven different scriptures, not just from my mind or the mind of some random saint, but from a doctor of the church, Saint Robert Bellarmine, from this incredible book right here. I'll put a link in the description if you want to look further into it. And combined, all these scriptures give us an incredible vision of the reality of purgatory from the lips of Jesus himself. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so there. Buy me a coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, just an initial caveat is the Catholic Church does not rely on scripture alone, since the church came before the Bible, and it was the church that actually declared which books were to be in the New Testament. So the church always understands truth through the lens of tradition and the magisterium, as well as scriptures. Nevertheless, these seven scriptures point to the reality of purgatory. Let's get right to the first one. Now, the way that I will lay it out is I will put out the scripture verse, read a portion of it, as well as words from St. Robert Bellarmine, and then my own thoughts. The first verse is Matthew 12:32. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. St. Robert Bellarmine says, from here the Holy Fathers gather that certain sins are remitted in the future age through the prayers and offerings of the Church. Several fathers were content with this testimony alone against the heresy which denies purgatory. This is a commonly quoted scripture with the reality that a certain forgiveness can happen in the age to come. Now, Catholics understand this forgiveness as a reality of purgatory, that those that die in a state of friendship with God, but they still have things that need to be purified, or as the scripture here says, forgiven, that's why they go to purgatory. It's not a second chance. They have already made their choice, but they need to be purified before they enter into the perfection of heaven. Second scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:15. But if someone's work is burned up, that one will suffer loss. The person will be saved, but only as through fire. And then St. Robert Bellarmine says, in the first place, note that the passage of the Apostle is one of the most difficult and useful of the whole scripture. For Catholics establish two ecclesiastical dogmas from it, purgatory and venial sins. Now, this is incredibly important, this distinction that he makes, two types of sins, ones that take you to hell and ones that keep you from heaven, don't take you to hell and leave you in this third place that we Catholics call purgatory. It's important that St. Paul says here, saved, but. This is incredibly important, the Catholic both and, that you are both saved and not perfect yet. We experience this all the time on earth, that we're on the way, but not quite there. That's exactly what a soul in purgatory is. They love God. They want to do God's will. They are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, but they are not perfect in Jesus Christ, therefore must be saved only as through fire, using the words of the scripture. Third verse, 1 Corinthians 15:29. Otherwise, what will people accomplish by having themselves baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, then why are they having themselves baptized for them? St. Robert Bellarmine says, this passage clearly establishes what we want, if it is understood rightly. Therefore, we will briefly expound upon it. By the way, with all of these passages, he goes on into lengthy arguments about different particular points. I'm not going to do that in today's video. If you want to kind of pick up that book, it's a very academic book, so I'm kind of condensing it to the things that you most need to know. Now, this is apparently, we don't always have the history of what was going on in the Catholic Church, but this one shows that in the early church, this baptizing yourself for the dead was this belief that after someone died, you could influence or affect the state of their soul. So these are the early beliefs that then turn into what we in the church call purgatory, this reality that they're saved, so they're not in hell, they're not condemned. You can't do anything for those that are in hell. They've already made their choice against God. These are for those that have chosen God but can be further purified. Our actions here on earth can affect them in purgatory. This is what this passage clearly shows. Passage number 4. Matthew 5:25 and a similar version somewhere else, Luke 12:58. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court to him. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge. The judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. And then the Luke version says this, if you were to go with your opponent before a magistrate, make an effort to settle the matter on the way. Otherwise, your opponent will turn you over to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the constable, and the constable throw you into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. St. Robert Bellarmine says this, Chrysostom, a early church father, teaches on Matthew 5 that the way is properly understood as a real road on which one journeys to a judge in this world. For Chrysostom thinks this is no parable, but that the Lord means this literally, so as to terrify the anxious with the threat of human danger, so that the judge is understood to be a man, the torturer a man, the prison a physical prison of this life, and the farthing a real coin. Jesus, therefore, is using a earthly metaphor, an earthly reality that they understood, that mirrors exactly what happens in the heavenly realm. One of the most important things that we can note in any of these passages is that there are a lot of things that Jesus does not say. He could have said this, he could have said that, but instead he says what he says. Therefore, we must take it seriously. Now, this process that he describes being handed over from here to here, from there to there, and then you're put into prison, and that you must pay the last penny, prison is what Jesus calls it. Catholics call it purgatory, but that's what purgatory is. It's a prison, which is a temporary place where we have to pay the last penny because during life, we failed to go through the process of paying the last penny with the blood of Christ. Therefore, now it's on us to pay for it. Passage number 5, Matthew 5:22. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. St. Robert Bellarmine says, I say from this passage, it can be deduced that at least some purgatorial punishments take place after this life. A common theme when you put all of these passages side by side is this reality of different gradations, different levels of being punishment. Protestants tend to have this mentality of like all or nothing. You either go to the highest heaven or you go to the deepest hell. Whereas, first of all, we don't experience that in life. There are people that love God more, and then in varying gradients from most to least. And then here at the bottom, they still love God. And then people that hate God a little bit, all the way to hate God a lot. There is difference in this life. There is therefore also difference in the reality of the afterlife. And Jesus references by having these different levels of punishment. First this, then that, then that. Notice that he says for the last one, the word that he always uses for hell, Gehenna. If he doesn't say Gehenna, which he has in his vocabulary, he isn't talking about hell. But if he's talking about a punishment without using the word Gehenna, that's that third place that we Catholics call purgatory. The sixth passage, Luke 16:1. And these are actually two parables back to back, and they're two purgatory parables, which is incredible. I actually just really saw this today, that often Jesus will lay out teachings that kind of compound. So one that reinforces, then another, because he's making the point twice to reaffirm it. The first one, I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. This one is a little bit kind of more difficult to make out, but hear what St. Robert Bellarmine points out. Augustine, proves purgatory from this passage. For he says, there are some so holy that they flight straight to heaven after death, and who are not only saved themselves, but can also help others. Again, certain others are so bad that they can neither help themselves nor be helped by others, but descend to eternal punishments without a remedy. Then there are some in the middle who die in such a state that they are neither worthy of eternal death, nor do their own merits suffice for them to enter unto salvation, namely to be received right away into heaven. And these, he says, are the ones that are received into the eternal dwellings by the prayers of their friends. Now, previous to that passage is a parable of a dishonest steward who, because he's dishonest, he makes these decisions to help the debtors of the master so that they can welcome him into eternal dwellings. And so essentially, Augustine uses that whole passage, including that verse, to say that there are certain people that they aren't exactly perfect. And so they can do certain things so that they can then enter into salvation. These people, what he would say are people that are in the middle, are those that are in purgatory. They need the help of their friends to be saved through their friends' prayers. Think on that one a little bit more, and it's going to become illuminated for you. The seventh and final passage, Luke 16:19. There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day, and lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come to lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the nether world, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames. St. Robert Bellarmine says, Peter Martyr, on the words that follow after this parable, the ones that I just read, and he says that we assert the rich man was in purgatory since he asked the assistance of Abraham. And he painstakingly answers this argument as if it were our Achilles, and at the same time deduces from there that souls cannot be aided by the living, seeing that neither Abraham nor Lazarus could help the rich man. Peter Martyr jokingly wonders why the rich man did not also seek to have Mass said for him on his anniversary, but nearly all Catholics say that the rich man is in hell, hence Peter Martyr is fighting the wind. So here he's making the point that there's this one saint that kind of looks at this passage and think, this is strange. You have someone in torment asking for help. Notice that Jesus says that he's in the netherworld. He doesn't use the word Gehenna. That's the word that he uses for hell. At that time, the word that Jesus uses when we think he's talking about purgatory are prison, or in this case, the netherworld. And he asks for help. If he was in hell, he wouldn't be able to receive help. So if he's asking for help in the first place, even if he didn't receive it, it's because it was possible. That's why this passage also shows us the reality of purgatory, that there is a place in the netherworld, what we call purgatory, where you can be helped. At the time of the parable, why couldn't he be helped? Well, because Jesus hadn't died yet. And Catholics believe that the prayers that we offer are all in virtue of the life and death of Jesus Christ. So he could not be helped yet, but once Jesus died, then he could be helped. My friends, if you put these seven passages together, you could understand and see the picture being painted of the reality of purgatory. It's there if you have the eyes to see it and you ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate these passages and many others. Do not be unbelieving, but rather believe. If you have loved this video, please subscribe and like, and check out this playlist of some of my best purgatory videos, and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.